Children and my dear congregation, I'm sure you remember the story of Solomon. When he first became the king of Israel, he was still a teenager. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he should be less than 20 years old. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, several chapters earlier, you can see that the Lord appeared to him during the night in a dream, and said to him, "Ask whatever you want, I shall give to you." And what's Solomon his response? He did not take advantage to satisfy his own desire, but asked for a discerning heart and wisdom to be able to fulfill God's will for him, which to govern the people of God. So here we see a king who is humbled and feared the Lord. Of course, the Lord was pleased with him. He gave Solomon not only wisdom as he asked, but also wealth and honor, greater than all the other kings at that time. The following chapters showed us Solomon, his wisdom, his wealth, his honor, his faithfulness in building the temple of God, and his worldwide fame. Chapter 10, the verses we read just now, showed us even a foreign queen, the queen of Sheba, heard of Solomon, his wisdom, and came to visit him. I believe this passage intend to teach all of us come to visit and come to this wise king, even a greater wise king, and be blessed by the king, the only wise king. So by God's grace, our message this evening will simply be come to the wise king. Come to the wise king. And first, to prove or test the wise king. And second, believe the wise king. And third, worship the wise king. So first, prove or test the wise king. Here in the text, we see the queen of Sheba. The Bible does not give us her name, only her title, the queen of Sheba. Our Lord Jesus, he refers to her in Matthew 12, as the queen of the south, because the kingdom of Sheba lays south of Israel. Biblical scholars, they believe that Sheba was mostly likely in the southwestern Arabia, in present-day Yemen. But from her title, the queen, we know she's a person with high rank in her own country. As a queen, she humbled herself, came to Israel to visit Solomon. And not only herself, but she came with a very great train of people, also with camels that bear spices, bearing very much gold and precious stones. With such grandeur, What does she come for? In brief, she came to test the king of Solomon, specifically to test the wisdom of Solomon. Here the text tells us, she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, Jehovah. Therefore, she came with hard questions to prove Solomon, namely to see whether the legend of Solomon's wisdom is true, and moreover, whether the Israel God, the Lord, Jehovah, is truly the one who could grant such unbelievable wisdom. In Matthew 12, Jesus there, he also says that the queen of the south, she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So when she came to Solomon, she told him all the hard questions that was in her heart. Verse 3 shows us that the wise King Solomon, with the wisdom of God, answered all her questions. The scripture emphasized that there was not anything hide from the king, which he told her not. So, but when reading this passage, we must understand that the Solomon, the wise king here, definitely, obviously, is pointing to Jesus Christ, because Christ himself has told us in Matthew 12 that, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He's not making nonsense. He indeed is the greater Solomon, a much greater wise king, because he is the eternal Son of God, the eternal wisdom himself. It is Christ, the eternal Son of God, the creator of the whole universe, who gave Solomon wisdom and insight to judge the people and to speak of animals and plants. Solomon himself is very clear about this. In Proverbs 8, we see that the author of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, even Solomon himself, he testifies for this eternal wisdom, by whom kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. Whoever finds this eternal wisdom will find life and receive favor from the Lord. Solomon himself experienced that. He tasted that. That's why he wrote that. So when Jesus Christ, he declares that I am the way, the truth, the life, no man come unto the Father but by me. We know that he is the eternal wisdom. Children, you remember, not long after Jesus, our Lord, was born, the wise men of the East traveled a long journey to Israel, bringing with them spices and gold, to visit and worship Jesus, the true wisdom, the Magi, the wise men, the Eastern doctors. They came to visit and worship Jesus, this little baby infant Jesus, the true wisdom, the only wise king. As our Lord Jesus, he grew up, he was filled with wisdom. Scripture told us when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents were already astonished at his understanding. And the religious teachers or doctors at Israel, they were amazed at his knowledge. After he started his ministry, his own countrymen, they cried out, "What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Mark 6:2. All those who came to him with hard questions, with their own troubles, problems, left Jesus with perfect answers. Even his enemies and those who tested him in improperate way, they were again and again put to silence by his wisdom. So truly, Jesus Christ is the wisdom himself. Apostle Paul also understands this point. That's why he declares in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So what does that mean for us today? When Jesus said this to his listener, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here," he was also telling them, If the queen of Sheba, the queen of Sauth, came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, why don't you come to me, the greater Solomon, the greater wise king, to hear my wisdom and to adhere to my instruction? Why not you? This calling applies to us today as well, especially to the unbeliever friends among us. You do not need to go far away. You do not need to bring with you a train of people, a great fortune, to be qualified to meet this greater Solomon. No, you don't. Maybe you have heard his name from your family, your friends, your parents, but you personally, you have not really come to him. Maybe you are still wondering in your own heart whether he is truly an able Savior to save you from all your troubles, the troubles maybe your parents could not understand, the troubles maybe even your spouse you would rather not share with her or him. If that's you, my dear friends, this evening, come to this wise king, this greater Solomon, with all your hard questions. Even test him, prove him, of course in a biblical way, not to manipulate him, but with the purpose to truly know him, with all that is in your own heart. Tell him all your secret struggles, your burdens, your puzzling. Bring all this to him. After all, it is he alone who claims that, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No other leader in the world, no religious leaders, no political leaders, had ever given such a clear promise. No. So come to this greater Solomon, this greater wise king, Jesus Christ. Is he a liar or a savior who is truly able to give you rest, to answer all your questions? Is he a fool or the most wise one? So prove him today. He will surely give you answer. But we came to this wise king not only to test him, but more importantly, in order to believe him and worship him, and thus to be blessed. If not, your testing will only lead you into sin against God. Let's see the second point, believe the wise king. So after testing the wise king, the queen of Sheba, she believed all that was said about Solomon. When she saw all the wisdom of Solomon, when she saw his magnificent palace, his officials, attendant servants, the temple of God, the burnt offerings, the scripture tells us there was no more spirit in her. Namely, it's breathtaking for her to see and experience all these things. She's so amazed and overwhelmed. Therefore, she can't help herself speaking directly to King Solomon as the Queen of Sheba. Verse 6, the report was true.
that are heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. Verse 7, but I did not believe the report until it came, and my own eyes had seen it. Now she truly believes Solomon, the wise king, after humbling herself and traveling such a long journey to Israel, after truly proved the king of Solomon, after seeing with her own eyes, experiencing with her own senses. Moreover, she confessed that only half of the truth was told. In fact, the wisdom and the prosperity of Solomon far surpasses the report she heard. So how impressive the wisdom and the prosperity of Solomon was. How glorious the kingdom of Israel was. But dear listeners, in front of you, you have a much, much greater Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This is declared by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has much greater wisdom and much greater prosperity. Even if you can gather together all the preachers in the world, even all the preachers in the church history, they could not picture it enough. The problem is not his wisdom and his prosperity, but whether you have seen it and believe. Maybe some of you will say, I have tried. I heard of his wisdom, his power. I gave it a try. I tested him. I wish it could be as easy as the Queen of Sheba. I came, I tested, I saw, I believed, but it doesn't work for me that way. I couldn't see his beauty, his wisdom, his power as the pastors characterized on the pulpit. Maybe you say, I just could not see it. If that's you, before you decide to quit or stop this seeking, let me remind you that your struggling is the right beginning of this process of seeking. Ultimately, it's not you who seek and defend this wise king. It's him came to you and found you. So it's not the time for you to quit, but the time for you to look further. In fact, you're just in the right beginning of seeing your incapability, your foolishness, and your own misery. You hope to see, but you are not able to see. Whoever wants to see the wisdom and prosperity of Jesus Christ, this great Solomon, must begin with seeing his own foolishness, his blindness, his impoverishment. That's true for all the believers. For all the pastors, for all the great theologians. Of course, it also must be true for you, who is on the way of seeking Christ. So don't be discouraged, but truly humble yourself before this greater king than Solomon. Do realize that he is the king of heaven and earth, with authority, with power, with sovereign will to give and to take away. No other rulers in this world can compare with him. Not the President of the United States. As the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, He is the Creator, and we are His creature. So comparing with this eternal, unchanging, all-knowing, and all-wise God, the best of our human wisdom is only, you can say, splendid foolishness. Splendid foolishness. Therefore, this greater king than Solomon cannot be manipulated by any human being, especially if your so-called seeking, your so-called testing is only for the purpose of your own interest, for the purpose of your selfish desires. But only dwells with him who is of a contrite and a lowly spirit, this great king. He only dwells with you who is of a contrite and a lowly spirit. Not only are we limited creatures, but more importantly, we are miserable sinners in front of him. Yes, human beings, we were created perfect, as the Heidelberg Catechism told us. We were created as princes and queens of this eternal God. Adam and Eve, our ancestors, they were privileged to see his glory and to hear his wisdom personally in the Garden of Eden. But they choose their own wisdom, which is in fact foolishness, and deserted the wisdom of God. Since then, in Adam, all humanity sinned against God and were therefore exiled from the face of God. So as his creature, we retain the desire of union and communing with God our creator, who is our ultimate fulfillment, our satisfaction, our happiness as the image of God. But as sinners, we are blinded in our minds, our will, our heart, by our own sinful nature. Seeing, but we do not see. Hearing, but we do not hear. And nor do we understand. Therefore, we, like Adam and Eve, we seek foolishness as wisdom, because we do not and cannot know the true wisdom. That's us, sinful and poor human being. That's you. That's me. No wonder you cannot see. No wonder you cannot understand, and no wonder you cannot believe and be blessed by this true wisdom, this greater king than Solomon. The problem is not in him, but us, our own sins. But do not despair. Look further. The good news is that Jesus Christ is a much, much greater king than Solomon. You cannot come to him, but he came to you and me. You cannot bring any gift to him except your own sins, your own misery, but he gave up his riches, his honor, his all his prosperity. Heavenly prosperity, died for sinners and the fools like you, like me. So the most wise king, he did become the most foolish one in the eyes of this world. the most prosperous and the most majestic king became the most impoverished one on the cross to redeem us from our misery, our sins, from our blind eyes, our blind minds, and our blind hearts, so that we could be able to see, to taste, to experience Him. That is the true wisdom of God, the high wisdom of God. It's also in this sense that Apostle Paul understands Jesus Christ to be the wisdom of God. The hidden wisdom of God is now revealed to us through the cross. So, behold, this one is the incomparable wisdom. So this is the incomparable wisdom of the great King, Jesus Christ. Come and see, if you want, the perfect sacrifice He offered with His perfect obedience. Come and see the eternal new temple He built with His own body. See the glorious people He redeemed with His own blood. And see their white robes shining with holiness. So come, taste and see the sweet grace He prepares for sinners like you and me. Have you seen all this? Have you also been overwhelmed? Have you been truly believed this wise King? If still not, pray His Holy Spirit may open your eyes and enlighten your mind so that you could really see His wisdom and be willing to submit yourself to His wisdom, which might be foolish to this world. Because in this world, whatever you see, it is true foolishness. It's splendid foolishness. Even to such a degree, you even don't understand what is the true wisdom. You do not need to be wise, be strong, to be qualified. Rather, God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So no more excuses. What you need to do is simply confess before this wise King, you are the foolish one. That you are the weak one, that you are the one who is unable to see. The Queen of Sheba is right to say, happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. You could easily become one of the most blessed servants of this great Solomon. Happy could be yours. You could easily become one of the most blessed servants of this Jesus Christ and continually stand before Him and hear His wisdom to regain what was lost by Adam and Eve. So come to believe this wise King and be blessed. Happiness could be yours. This believing will definitely lead to worship. Our final point, worship the wise King. So after testing Solomon, seeing his wisdom, experiencing all these, the Queen of Sheba, she can't help praising and worshiping the God of Israel, the true king behind Solomon. In verse 9, she says, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king, and you may execute justice and righteousness." Here the Queen of Sheba, he used a special name, the Lord Yahweh, to address the Lord God, the Israel God. It shows that her faith is ultimately on the God of Israel. The impressive wisdom of Solomon leads her to the fountain of wisdom, Yahweh, the I am who I am. So she blessed and worshiped this King of heaven and earth. By faith, the Queen of Sheba also sees Yahweh, his love for his people. He sees his wise and gracious arrangements for giving Solomon wisdom and setting him on the throne of Israel to govern the people, to bring them justice, to bring them righteousness. Therefore, she gave all her gifts, gold, spices, to pay homage. But not only to Solomon, the wise king, but more importantly, to the true king behind Solomon, the king of the universe, the God of Jehovah, the Lord Yahweh. But as we know, Solomon himself, he does not deserve such adoration and worship at all. He's a mere man and also a corrupt sinner. In fact, the following chapter very quickly showed us that despite the God-given wisdom and the many, many graces of God, Solomon turned away from the Lord who appeared to him twice, who gave him personal instruction. We don't know whether the Queen of Sheba saw the later Solomon. But you can imagine how disappointed she would be if she saw such a wise king, a so-called wise king Solomon, later turned away from the God who gave him wisdom. How foolish it is, departing from God, the most wise king, could become the most foolish one. But dear brothers and sisters, our King, Jesus Christ, is indeed the greater Solomon. He will never disappoint you. On the cross, the most wise king, Jesus Christ, he became the most foolish one in the eyes of the world. But that's for the purpose of obeying the will of his Father. Not departing, but obeying the will of his Father. He's willing to obey the Father until death. For that reason, he is called the wisdom of God. His resurrection by God the Father also proves how satisfied the Father is toward the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, although it is foolish in the sight of the world. Therefore, God the Father seated Jesus Christ at his right hand, set him on the throne of the whole universe, made him both Lord and Christ, gave him all authority in heaven and earth. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, including Solomon. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So this Jesus, the crucified Jesus, is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his reign will last forever and ever. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? My dear congregation, worthy is this Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. This Lamb who was slain, he is the greater Solomon. This is the greater wise king. Worthy is him. If you truly believe him, what else left for you but to worship him with all you have? No, with all he has given you. With all he has given you. Worship him. Bless him. On the last day, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them shall come to bow down before Jesus Christ and worship him, saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. So not only the Queen of Sheba, but the kings of all nations and a great multitude from all tribes and the people and the language will come to worship him. Where will you be? Where will you be? Will you be welcomed? Will you be there? Have you started to see the glorious King even while you are on this earth? So come to worship him today. If you truly believe him, what left for you is but to praise and bless Yahweh, the triune God, the God of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who planned this redemptive work in eternity, accomplished it 2,000 years ago on the cross, and still applying it to sinners until today. With patience, with mercy, such a high, glorious, majestic King, waiting for sinners like you and me to repent, to turn away from our foolishness and to embrace the wisdom, the true wisdom he prepared for us in Christ, and to obtain eternal life. So blessed be the Lord our God, for he has given us such a wise king to execute justice and righteousness, to give mercy to sinners like us, to treat us with unrighteousness, right from another perspective, not what we deserved. So blessed be the Lord our God, for his unsearchable wisdom, for his glorious
redemptive plan. What a glorious King you have, you could have, and you will have. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Dear congregation, again, have you seen it? Have you been overwhelmed? Have you believed? Come to prove this God-prepared wise king, the greater than Solomon, and come to believe him and come to worship him today and be blessed today until forever and ever. Let's bow down to this wise king and pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your precious word. We give thanks for your Holy Spirit. Work here, work among us. Enable us to taste a little bit of the glorious majesty of our glorious King, the true wisdom, our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for giving us such a wise King to govern and rule us. And have mercy on us. How blessed are we, unworthy sinners, to be able to be called your servants and to be able to know you and serve you and to enjoy fellowship with you, the Most High. Grant us your heavenly wisdom. Enable us to see, to believe, to worship, and to glorify your name on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, O Lord, and forgive all our sins, and lead us into the eternal glory you prepared for each one of us, for your people. Amen. In Jesus' name.